Milo's Money Days are here, and we're making it rain for rewards members. For the first time ever, when you make a purchase of $200 or more through July 12th, you'll get up to $30 back in extra Milo's money. Not a member yet? Join for free today, because members get more at Lowe's. Milo's Money Award varies based on status. Members in gold get 30, silver get 20, and bronze get 10. Milo's Money valid for 30 days. Restrictions and more terms at Lowe's.com/Milo's Money Days.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Today on The Grave Talks, part two of our conversation about the case files of the Rocky Mountain Paranormal Research Society. A lot of hauntings kind of are based on maybe an urban legend, maybe some folklore, you know, because we've all heard the stories. It's a woman in white. It's a woman in red. It's a woman in blue who's walking around looking for her boyfriend who died or whatever. There's just so many variations of those stories. But I thought it was interesting. There was a story, and it ends up tragic, and I don't really want to dwell on that part of it. But the Platte Canyon High School, there was an urban legend about an assault and a suicide on campus, on the high school campus. But when you went to look into that, you couldn't find any evidence of that.
Exactly. And well, that's the one thing, especially urban legends are very difficult to track, and they tend to spread around a lot, too. We've got one location here in town that, I swear to you, has collected every urban legend possible in one stretch of road. And it's a question of how did it get there? I mean, it has the same, like you say, the Phantom Hitchhiker, the woman in white, the, you know, all these different stories that every other town has. What is the commonality that makes these so popular?
Yeah, and how does it go from one community to another? Because it seems like, you know, there's a lot of cemeteries that have a similar haunting to them, or the road, like you just mentioned. There's this road where you will see this woman, or hotels on a staircase. You see the woman looking for her boyfriend who never showed up, or whatever it is. So I think those are interesting. And in this story about the high school, what I thought was really interesting was that this story had been going around. The high school was built like in the 50s, I'm thinking. I don't know for sure if my memory is serving me right.
My memory might be failing, but it was 50s or 60s, I think.
Yeah. So in that time frame, that there would have been, this would have made news.
Absolutely.
And the fact that it's all going around, you know, class after class after class that comes into high school. They've heard the story and they see where it supposedly happened. But to find no proof of that, I thought was really interesting. So,
well, we have one other case that isn't in the book. It will be in one of them, of a murder at a university that became a haunting. And you want to talk about urban legends. We've gone up over the years and just asked the students, what do you know about this haunting? And watching the stories change and grow. And I mean, yes, there's case behind it, but it's
in so that case there was a real murder behind it. So there, exactly. there we do know where that one came from. Whereas at Platte Canyon, it kind of seems like there was nothing.
Right. And it makes you wonder, how did that get started? You know, where it was, you know, a child was assaulted, and then I think it was a teacher committed suicide, and there's no proof of any of it. That's a very specific thing. You can't really mix that one up with a lot of other crimes that would have happened in that area.
I'm wondering how, I mean, at schools, I think you're going to get very similar stories if you let them build. It's just like, you know, every town has the haunted railroad tracks. Every neighborhood yes. has that house that the one crazy person lives in that the kids never get out of. And I think that's just part of the collective consciousness of how people work. There's a base set of beliefs that kind of play into all of these.
I do
and
find
it could have been moved in from a different school, or even somebody read a book that was something similar, and then the students start telling the stories amongst themselves, and then it grows from there.
Exactly.
That telephone game where it kind of grows and morphs, you know, as the story is told from this person to that person to that person.
Exactly that. And in the case of Platte Canyon, we haven't really been able to trace it exactly, but there are some other cases where over the years we've been able to sort of document, okay, this was the original case and here's how it's moved from person to person and from place to place and even jumped states in some cases. And there are some that are documented well enough that we've been able to actually sort of trace the folklore as it changes.
And it didn't seem like the high school had a ton of paranormal activity.
No, not at all.
You know, so I thought it was an interesting story to read, but I just thought it was so interesting that, you know, for a story that dates back to the 50s or 60s, someone could have come along in that time and debunked the whole thing. And it's interesting that it took you guys to debunk it, at least the story. You know, maybe they're having I think a lot of schools are haunted. I'm not totally sure why.
Any school and any hotel without a ghost story is not
unusual. So I have to ask you both a question, though. But do you believe in the paranormal, or do you fall on the line of more skeptical? Where would you be on that line, Bob?
Sort of like Brian was talking about earlier, it kind of fluctuates, because if we go to three places in a row and something weird happens, I start to think, oh, this we're on the verge of catching the ghost or the alien or whatever we're looking into. On the other hand, when we go to three in a row when nothing happens, the needle sort of goes in the other direction. I start to think it's all nonsense and there's nothing to find. In general, putting aside the fact that methodologically we have to be neutral always, mm-hmm. my suspicion mm-hmm. is I don't know what it is. I'm sort of agnostic to ghosts or aliens or whatever. I have a hunch that there's something weird out there. I think it's a lot rarer than the number of ghost stories or alien stories or cryptid stories would let on. But I would like to be the one to find whatever science has not yet figured out, whatever it might be.
What do you think, Brian?
I'll give one of my favorite answers of, I haven't been given the luxury of believing or not believing. And just like Bob said, it varies from time to time. You can't have a bunch of things happen to you and not go, well, at least I'm hopeful. But, you know, in order for us to be honest to the client or whoever it is that we're working for, we need to be able to not drag that in with us. And, you know, it's hard. If you go to a place, that, you know, an old abandoned hospital, trying to walk in and not go, wow, there's got to be ghosts here because look right. at this place.
Right. That's how I would be.
Yeah, it's sort of like whether there's a ghost or not, this place is haunted. Some things happened there and there's some history. So it's,
exactly.
it's at least metaphorically haunted.
I always think just as you can feel the energy off of a person, we've all met those people who just give you a really bad vibe. It's like, I don't want to be around that person for whatever reason, negative. You don't have that good feeling. And I think that it's the same when you walk into a building, that some of that has been left behind, you know, in those older buildings, you know, especially like an old hospital or asylum or jail, prisons. You know, there was a lot of negative energy there. I just don't think that goes away when the people are gone.
I don't know if I'd use the word energy, because that implies sort of a psychic thing, and I'm as psychic as a teapot. But other than word choice, I absolutely agree. There are places that just give you the heebie-jeebies for whatever reason.
And I guess that's just a way to describe it, because I don't know how else to describe it. But it's kind of, it just makes me feel some certain locations. I get a feeling that I get when I'm around a person that I feel is very negative. So I would think that would be hard as investigators. Maybe you want someone like that on your team, but at the same time, I think it would be hard to walk in someplace and be able to leave that and go, you know what, I'm not bringing my own feelings into this.
It's a difficult thing to do.
The trick is you just have to construct methods and protocols that have that account for that sort of within the methods themselves. So even if your brain starts to go off on some tangent and freak out over something, you at least have your methods to fall back on, and you could say, okay, we're still doing this the same way we always do, and these are the methods we're going to follow, and this is the kind of evidence we'll collect.
Or do you put the plan together before you go in, or do you kind of change it up a little bit depending on where you're at?
Like anything you do, I mean, we always have a plan in place, but nothing ever goes off exactly as planned. So
right,
definitely got to think on your feet when you're doing this.
And we mentioned the Stanley Hotel a little bit ago. Do you guys think, and that's such a long conversation, and I would advise everyone to get the book and read the whole thing, because it is very interesting just to read the history of the hotel. But we've all seen it from The Shining, and supposedly Stephen King had an experience there. And lots of people have had experiences there. What did you guys feel with your findings? What do you think? Pretty haunted?
When we were there investigating, we were there several times and doing different kinds of things. Some of the claims we've been able to sort of debunk or explain away. One of those was, there was a claim that the reason they have ghosts was because of certain minerals, mostly quartz, magnetite, and limestone, in the soil under the hotel. The claim was that those minerals attracted the spirits. We ended up working with a few departments of the federal government doing a soil survey there, and were able to find that those minerals weren't there. So that story was not the case.
Which was so bizarre that the government would come to you with, like, we're going to help them do this, which is kind of, that had to have been out of left field.
It was out of left field. The reason was, they were not interested in the ghost stories.
Right.
We had contacted them, and then it turns out they wanted to do a soil survey in the area anyway, because they were interested, for other scientific reasons, in depth to bedrock in the region. So they had a reason that they wanted to be there, and it just sort of worked out that our missions sort of overlap.
You would be amazed, and with the things that we've done over the years, you would be amazed the bizarre situations we find ourselves in.
I can't even imagine, Brian.
You've read the book, Cheeseman Park. These bodies have kind of been unattainable for years. And we find ourselves at the coroner's office with a forensics team working on the skeletons. That is surreal. And at this point, I have no idea what we're going to be doing, because things are so, so unusual for us, which I am okay with.
Yeah, it just gets crazy. And then just to go back a smidge and give the other half of your answer about the Stanley Hotel, there were a few weird things that we were able to document there that we've never been able to explain. So I'm not necessarily saying they've got no ghosts, but some of the stories we were able to explain, and some of them we weren't.
Can't remember now, but you went and investigated a place. I used to work in radio for years, so I could totally related to it. But you got the morning show guys, and they're going to stay that haunted room. I can't remember what that location was, though.
It was the Victor Hotel.
Yes.
Sort of down south.
And so it's interesting, like, you could debunk some things, you know, because some of it, it could be a train going by, which is vibrating the room, which is making this vibrate, and it's making that sound. You know, there are things that you can debunk. Now, if I heard some of those things in the middle of the night, that would scare the crap out of me.
even if you know what they are, some of those things can still give you a good Wiggins.
Yeah, it'll startle you.
So, Brian, even just a ballpark, because this is volume one, and we've already discussed there will be more volumes. How many places do you think you've investigated over these 25 years?
I haven't a clue. But at the same time, even though we've been doing this for 25 years and investigated a ton, we've barely scratched the surface when it comes to potentially, you know, haunted locations just in Colorado. It's such a popular topic. And I mean, there's just so much ground to cover. And every day there's a new story from a new location, which I'm perfectly okay with. And it'll add on to volume 20 by the time we're getting there, I guess.
Yeah, I'd say at this point we've probably outlined, volume one is out. We've outlined two and three and most of volume four, which probably amounts to a couple hundred cases. I haven't counted them.
Wow.
But then there's thousands more that we still haven't got to yet.
There was one case, because you were talking about in Colorado, but you went to the F.E. Warren Air Force Base in Cheyenne.
That was in Wyoming.
Which I thought was interesting that the base houses nuclear weapons. And obviously it's on an Air Force Base, so the government owns the housing, but it's a private residence.
Yeah, that's sort of in that weird middle ground between public and private.
That's an interesting situation to be in, too. It's like just getting on an Air Force Base, you can't just like walk up and go, hey, I'd like to walk around. They don't let you do that.
Well, and take that a step farther. I'd like to walk around and I've got all this surveillance equipment with me.
I never even thought about it like that, but yes, you're right.
Yeah, here comes a team of people with some really low-tech surveillance equipment that's going to hang out at the nuclear Air Force Base.
Hope you don't mind.
Yeah.
We never go anywhere without permission, so we're never sneaking.
Right, and on an Air Force Base, you have to have permission, and they have to be
expecting you.
On that
one, it was a whole other, you know, have to get all kinds of permissions from several layers of the hierarchy and follow all kinds of protocols.
So for you guys to get on base, and, you know, obviously there was enough to this residence that they wanted you to come in and see what you could figure out.
Well, and that's
how we got there, because they were interested and they made the correct introductions for us.
But that's the thing. It's another one of those cases of how in the wide, wide world did we end up here? But here we are.
And there were some strange things that were happening in the house.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, that's something that I tell people, you know, when they're discussing why we still do this. Even if there wasn't the possibility of us finding an explanation or digging up more things about the paranormal, we get to go to some of the coolest places and a lot of places that the general public either doesn't go for a very long time. And we're able to go to a lot of historic places that we may be the last group in before it ends up getting, you know, leveled and becomes an apartment building. So we're there to document history as well. It's just such a weird field.
You know, you're in the Stanley Hotel investigating, which I don't know. Is that a common thing for people to be able to investigate there?
There's two
nowadays.
Yeah, they do ghost tours and stuff, but can
they do it a couple of different ways? Most ghost hunting groups will just rent a room. So they'll say, okay, I want, you know, the most haunted room in the building, we'll take it for the night. And they'll do something in their room. But to be given just the amazing amount of rooms and access that we've been given the times that we've been up there, it either doesn't happen or will cost a small fortune to make it happen.
Yeah, these days there's just so much activity with multiple tour groups and magic shows and seances and so much going on there now. That the ability of getting sort of half of the complex like we did back in the day is just really not there anymore.
And I'm going to ask each of you guys one question before we wrap this up. And it could be a case out of this book, or it could be a case out of a future volume. And I'll start with you, Bob. Is there one case that really just stuck with you?
There's a lot, and it's hard because sort of they're all my favorites for different reasons.
I know, it's like picking out a kid, right? It's like
I'll mention a couple from this book just to limit my selection a little bit. One of them was Cheeseman Park because of the history in that place and working with the forensic anthropologists and being able to do some science.
That would be so interesting.
That's a favorite for sort of historic and scientific reasons. One is called The Toilet Ghost, which is a favorite because that's one where we were able to sort of naturally explain everything that happened there. And then... So
real quick, for someone who has not read the book yet, could you kind of put that into a little cliff note, like a paragraph? Because people are like, toilet ghost?
So the toilet ghost part of it was they thought a ghost was flushing a toilet and it turned out to be a leaky flapper valve.
And it was the $15 fix.
Right. They had a bunch of claims. They had, you know, a ghost walking down the hall that turned out to be a loose pipe that sounded like somebody walking down the hall. There was just a ton of paranormal claims that they had, but our investigation was eventually able to sort of step-by-step explain all of them, which is fairly rare. We're usually able to explain a few things, and then there's some unexplained things that are left over.
Were they people who, when you're like, you just need to get your toilet fixed, were they okay with that? Or because I would think when they have that many things, maybe they're people who kind of want to live in a haunted house.
And in general terms, it takes all kinds. In this case, they were so terrified of everything. They were very relieved that it was nothing to worry about.
Brian, do you have any cases that really stand out to you?
You know, I kind of agree with what he said. All of them. But it changes, you know, as I talk too, because I'll start telling one story and it's like, oh yeah, I forgot about this other one where this happened and this cool thing. But I as weird as it sounds, even though the ghost stories are there, just some of the amazing locations we've been able to visit. I mean, we were able to spend a couple of weekends in a county courthouse, one of the county seats here, with nobody else in the building, with kind of free reign of it to be able to document it, to see places you don't normally get to see. We went to the back end of a cave system that most people, if you do get a tour of it, you get to walk through and leave, and we're spending days in it. And just the unbelievable experiences we get to have, paranormal or not. And, you know, you throw in a spooky happening at the same time, and all of them are just so bizarre that we get to do it in the first place.
It would be like no 2 days would ever be the same. Like you might think you know what you're walking into, but then once you get there, despite all the research and looking into the history of the location, it seems like once you would get there, it would still be full of surprises.
Well, and that's kind of what I was talking about earlier is, you know, we can make all the decisions we can possibly come up with before we go into an investigation. And the minute that we get there, it's like, oh, I guess we need to change this idea or we need to use this equipment instead. Or there's just so many variables.
I can't wait to have you guys back on to talk about Volume 2.
It's a coming.
So you guys
hopefully
just,
soon. We're
just
on
let
it.
Me know when it's ready and let's talk about some more ghosts. Now they can go to your website. Is it RockyMountainParanormal.com?
Yep.
And then the book, it's Case Files of the Rocky Mountain Paranormal Research Society, Volume 1. They can buy it on Amazon. They can also, like I downloaded it on my Kindle, but they can also get it through your website.
Yeah, the best way to get it directly is through the publisher's website, which is also me. One of my other projects is the
publisher.
And that's polymathpress.com. So that's for direct sales. You can get it directly from us there. And then, as you said, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, local bookstores. It's out there. You can find it or special order it pretty much anywhere you can get a book.
One other note, I guess, is if you just love listening to us banter on about things, not only do we have that, Bob and I host a podcast called Do You Like Scary Movies, which we're kind of obsessive horror fans too. So we interview people from all aspects of horror, be it producers, directors, special effects people, actors, musicians, authors, you name it.
I'm going to give that a listen.
That is available at doyoulikescarymovies.com. And we're about to hit our 50th episode this week.
So flabbergasted that we got that domain name.
Yeah. Just doyoulikescarymovies.com.
I have to ask you, just because when we're recording this, it just came out this week, that new Exorcist movie. Did you guys see it?
Unfortunately.
Okay, because I wanted to go because Ellen Burstyn, and it kind of looked like it might be a little bit of the original Exorcist scariness magic, because that was an amazing movie, I think.
As long as you enjoyed the original, just keep that in your memory and don't mess with it.
Because this is so funny. One of my friends went to see it, and I'm like, what'd you think? And he's like, don't go. Don't go. Don't waste too many.
If you could separate it from The Exorcist and pretend it was just another possession movie, it wouldn't be bad. It's not a terrible movie. It's just not The Exorcist.
Because it's hard. The Exorcist was so perfect.
Exactly.
You can't turn it into a franchise.
Or if you did, you have to be more careful and have the right people behind it.
I'm not going to name any names because, you know, things change. But if you are a fan of The Exorcist, tune into our next podcast. We have a surprise.
As in the next one that's getting ready to post?
The 50th episode, which will be
presumably on Thursday.
Somebody could be listening to this podcast a year from now. So
that's for our 50th episode.
50th episode. Perfect. I'm going to give that a listen. Bob and Brian, I have so enjoyed this conversation. I knew when I read the book that I would enjoy talking to you both. And for someone who loves scary stories, read the book. If you like to know kind of what goes behind the scenes in an investigation, read the book. If you are interested in starting investigations, read the book. Because it's just so well thought out and put together. So
now,
I don't know
how. You
need
to take exactly what you just said there and put it in writing as an Amazon review.
I will. I'm going to do that, you guys. I will do that tonight or tomorrow.
Awesome.
And that wraps up our conversation about the book Case Files of the Rocky Mountain Paranormal Research Society, Volume 1, with authors Robert Lewis and Brian Bonner. You can buy the book at polymathpress.com, Amazon, or wherever books are sold. And for more information, you can visit their website at rockymountainparanormal.com or find them on Facebook. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, commercial-free, and you'll get access to the archive and advanced episodes, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up today on Apple Podcasts, or you can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.
Telluretic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for The New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public would be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.
Despiértate, que el $4 breakfast meal deal ha llegado a McDonald's. Incluye un sausage McMuffin o sausage biscuit, hash brown y un café caliente. Llévate más por tu dinero con tu meal deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.